Blog Talk Radio.
There it is. This is it, people. This is our Back to School series premiere. And my name is Eric Terrell, and this is the Eric Terrell Show. I'm so happy to have you. I hope, I pray that you are just as happy to have me, okay? The show landed about 10 hours before I get my wisdom teeth extracted. So pray for me, because I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm more afraid of this than roller coasters. I'm very scared to get my wisdom teeth taken out tomorrow. I'm gonna be drugged. I'm gonna be really high. I don't know what they're gonna do to me, because if you've seen people walk out of the orthodontist after they've drugged them up, it looks like they're possessed. It looks like they're Death Eaters. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Now, listen here. We're not going to go off on any tangents about any wisdom teeth, because today we're talking about something serious. We're talking about behavior, classroom behavior. What happened to students' respect for authority? Where did it go? Has it ever existed in full form, in its most purest fashion? I would like to think that there have been better days for classroom behavior. I feel as though my days were better, despite the fact that I was a class clown and many of my friends were class clowns, but it seems to get worse. Classroom behavior seems to get worse year by year. Now, thank you for tuning in to our Back to School series finale. And by the way, I have a co-host. She'll be here soon. And I also have a special guest. I potentially have two special guests. That's right. I've got a special guest and a possible for my spades players. The special guest of whom I know will be joining me, her name is Miss Karen Barrett. That's right. She has been a school teacher for 34 years. And just in case you're wondering, I have been alive for 24 years. So that's pretty interesting. And I'm looking forward to talking to Miss Karen Barrett. Okay? Now, I'm going to start the show. I think the show already started. I don't know. But, look at here. Look, didn't I tell y'all? I told y'all. Look at who we got. Asia Downing.
Hey.
What's going on, girl?
Officially
started. That's right. It starts when you get here. Now, Asia, I'll get your take in a second. You know, I always start the show with fact and
numbers.
Opinion. Yeah, right. Numbers. Facts being numbers and opinions being the unproven. And facts sometimes lie within the studies. Because the studies were done, the polls were taken, and this is what we have. Now, I cannot really tell you how many kids are throwing tables across classrooms. Statistics don't show how many students are cussing out teachers and how many students are eloping from their classrooms. They don't have those kind of statistics. But classroom behavior is bad. Just so you know that it's pretty serious. This comes from publicagenda.org. virtually all teachers, meaning those polled, 97% exactly, which is why we get the term virtually. 97%, virtually all teachers said that good discipline and behavior are a prerequisite for a successful school. And virtually, this being 93% polled, virtually all said it is the public school's job to teach kids to follow the rules so that they are ready to join society. Now, the polls also indicate that 8 in 10 teachers said that their school has students who should be removed and sent to alternative schools. Now, I say these things just to say that it is a huge problem. It is a magnanimous problem. The funny thing about what I've read is that it's supposedly a school's job to make you ready to join society by making you behave well in a classroom. Now, for those that don't know, I was not well behaved in the classroom. I would like to assume, being as though I haven't been to jail, that I am well behaved in society. However, it is a problem. It is a huge problem, this classroom behavior. Now, why does it continuously get worse? Now, before I hear from Asia and my special guest, let me just tell you guys this. Let me just say that I had a theory that proved to be wrong. Now, my theory was that parents were getting younger and younger. So what I did was I unearthed the official statistic, the official statistic from NPR.org that says that parents are actually doing the opposite. First-time mothers, we only have the numbers for the mothers, not the fathers. However, the mothers are getting increasingly older. In 2000, the average age of a first-time mother was 25. 14 years later, in 2014, which is 2 years ago, the average age was 26 years old. So relatively nothing's happening to the age of mothers, so that theory was wrong. However, the theory that I'm relying upon does still depend on age, and this is why. Okay. I think that our parents may slowly be getting older. I believe that teachers are slowly getting younger. Now, many, and I do use the operative term many, of my friends, of my homies from college and that I've grown up with, have become teachers immediately after they've graduated from college. And I'm not saying that my friends were not ready to be teachers, but I'm saying that I'm just not so sure that this has always been protocol. I believe that this is a problem. These are the people who complain about behavior the most, the inexperienced, the young. We have more of them now. They're all over the place. And I tell you what, year after year after year of you being a teacher. Now, I'm not a teacher, but this is something that I've known. Our special guest is going to join us in a few seconds. She's been a teacher for 34 years. And I'm pretty sure she can verify what I'm saying, that as you become more tenured, the amount of disrespect you receive decreases. So that's my theory. That's my theory for classroom behavior continuously getting worse, is simply teachers continuously getting more inexperienced. We talked to a teacher this morning on my morning show, and she's retired, and she had been a teacher for a long time, and her name's Lenora Hope. She taught at Ben Salem high school in the Philadelphia area, and she spoke of a line. She spoke of a line of disrespect, if you will, a line that students cross, the line between good behavior and bad behavior. And as a teacher, you have to draw that line. Students have to know not to cross that line, and you get better at drawing that line. Because being a good teacher, you kind of have to be liked. You know, we don't learn from people who we don't like. The most likable teachers are the most memorable teachers.
Right.
And it's tough to be liked without being good at drawing that line. Because if you try to be liked, if you pander, then the line becomes a gray area. Because students will look at you as their friend, and they may think they can cross that line. I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. We'll get more of my thoughts and our special guest thoughts and Asia's thoughts right now. How you feel, Asia?
Right now. Okay. I do agree with you with the age difference. I know a lot of teachers go right into, like, they need teachers. So it's not really that hard. I think, you know, because my mother's a teacher, so I know. These younger teachers, they come in and they may not have even had children of their own. You know what I'm saying? Like, to discipline
right.
and try to get with these kids and teach them something, it's hard. You have to have a lot of patience. Like, my mom, she's a kindergarten teacher. Like, I don't know how she does it. These little tiny
right.
kids, not coming out of their nose. Like, it takes a special kind of person. So you do have to negotiate. You do try to have to, you know, they want to be your friend, but sometimes you can't be your friend. I remember my high school teachers, all the ones that were my friends, we tore their class up. Like, we was copying off each other. I ain't gonna lie. We were just friends that our friends, they pretty much let us do whatever we wanted to, and I probably didn't learn a lot in that class. Also, I want to say, I do think that there's a technology factor interfering with kids' education, as far as like social media, iPhones, Xboxes. Like, they're acting out because of that. I really do think, for example, I had a summer camp with kids. The oldest were 13, and they act grown as hell. Like, they had Facebooks, which they weren't supposed to have. They had Facebooks
yeah.
and an altercation from name-calling side of the camp came back into the camp, and they wanted to fight each other because of Facebook. I'm like, y'all shouldn't even be on Facebook. Y'all need to be outside playing and riding your bikes. Like, I mean, between that and Xbox Live, it's like, these kids aren't kids anymore. So
right.
they're growing too fast. My mom has to confiscate cell phones. Now, you remember I told you she's a kindergarten teacher. What is a kindergarten doing
right.
with a cell phone?
Right.
Like, it's just a little, like, you know, like one of those where I can trace you, I can track where you're at, I can call you, and you can call me. That's it. No games, no internet, nothing like that. These kids are getting out of hand, and they do think they're grown. I feel like they're getting past this. You're coming to school to learn, you know, not to socialize, not to show me what you saw on Pinterest, stuff like that. And I do think it is getting a little harder for kids to learn, and then they start acting out opposed
yeah.
to that. So I do think that technology has a really big factor. Parents, if you're listening, I strongly believe that you should let your kids be kids for as long as they can. Like, keep the technology to a minimum. Like, yes, there are some learning features. They got, you know, Nabbies, Leapfrog tablets, stuff like that. But unless it's for learning, like, just, I wasn't allowed to watch TV until my homework was done, and that was like an hour minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weekend. Like, I feel like it's not just in the class, because teachers can only do so much. Like, teachers can't spank their kids in class no more. So I feel like
yeah.
it's up to the parent to kind of monitor and mold them outside of the classroom, and that's what's really going to help them in the classroom. You know how the kids act, say sir, ma'am, have manners, all that stuff. That's at home. Majority is spent at home. And that's going to step right in the classroom. So parents step
up. That's very that is very, very accurate. You couldn't have said it any better, Asia. I knew coming into this episode that parents would be a huge part of the discussion. Now, we're going right at this second to my special guest. I love this woman. I have loved her for a very, 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 very long time. She taught at Northeast High School. She's been a teacher for 34 years. Now, I've been alive for 24 years. she's been a teacher for 34 years, and she is a bowling coach, a high school bowling coach, and she is a wonderful, extremely, extremely great and good parent. So she can speak to this from various angles. Also a Sunday school teacher. We introduced to the show Miss Karen Barrett. What's going on?
Hey, Eric, how are you this evening? And
good.
For
how
are
you feeling?
On. Doing well, thank you. Doing well.
Now, you keep hearing me call you Miss Karen Barrett. I know it's weird. I understand that. This will be the first and last time I refer to you as Miss Karen Barrett, because you are to me Aunt Karen, but we're professional. This is radio, and you're Miss Karen Barrett. Yeah, Miss Barrett. The phones. Listen here. That's the phone, AJ. We lost her. I saw her number disappear on the call log here in our studio. Until she gets back with us, I'm going to take a quick phone call. I know exactly who this is. He called in last week. He will entertain us in the meantime. I believe this is the big dog. Hello, you're live.
What's going on, people?
That's what I thought. What's happening, big dog?
Not much, man. You know, I had to call in and listen, you know, this type of topic, you know, that's in my wheelhouse. So I had to jump in and listen to you and hear what you had to say about this today. Of course, listening to Miss Karen, I've known her a long time myself, so.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now, until our special guest reconnects to the show, once she solves her technical difficulties, let us know what you think of me and Asia's theories.
Okay, first of
and
all,
give us your, and give us your biggest theory to why the disrespect increases.
Let me say hi to Asia first. Always good to talk to you again. I'm gonna say this. I disagree with you in terms of the situation. In terms of the best teachers are the ones that are liked the most. The best teachers are the ones that you respect the most, because you like a teacher that gives you your way. You like a teacher that does the things you want them to do. But then once the teacher has to say no, then there's a problem. I had a teacher when I went to Masterman in seventh grade biology. We called her the Dragon Lady. She was the meanest teacher I ever met in my life. But I got an A in her class because I learned a lot. She was no nonsense. There was no extra talking. There was no fighting in her class. Everybody did their work. It was all about respecting the fact this lady knew everything. She knew her stuff, and you learned something.
Okay.
So it wasn't about, you know, her liking. I mean, it's nice to have a teacher like you. It's nice to like your teacher. But ultimately, you're there to learn. And education, and I think Asia hit on it a little bit, education begins at home. You know, we have to take more responsibility with teaching our kids. We're supposed to prepare them for school. You don't send your kid to school to kindergarten, and they don't know their ABCs. They should know that already. It's not the teacher's responsibility. You, as a parent, you prepare your child for school with the basic stuff, and then the school reinforces that, and then gives them, as they get older, they give them the curriculum they need to do. But as a parent, you reinforce that stuff and prepare them. You don't send your child to school just totally, you know, with no idea. I mean, they know how to unlock an iPhone, but they can't spell iPhone. You know, so.
Yeah, got you. Now, Big Dog,
that's a problem for me.
I want you to stay on the line. Our special guest is back, Ms. Karen Bear. How do you feel about how do you feel about what I've said, what Asia said, and what the Big Dog has said?
Yeah, Big Dog and Asia is, and hi to both of you also. I think you're right on point, Eric. I can't do nothing but kind of tailgate along with what they have already said about one. The parents, education begins at home. And that's been going on, it's been going on for years. It should. I see these days that a lack of that is not being done. Education, preparing, as Big Dog just said, preparing, and I also say instruction and structure is not being done at home these days. And they're coming to the classroom. Coming to school, looking for now the teacher, a subject unit, and then also discipline and keep the kids in order. And that really should, most of that, if not all of that, should have already been introduced at home. So truly, too, I definitely agree with, and I usually start off letting the class know, I'm in high school with the teenagers, not ninth through 12th grade. Hey, I'm not here for you to like me. I want you to get the subject matter, the work. It's about you learning whatever subject that I'm teaching. And of course, I'm in that health and phys ed era. So whether you like me or not, that's not the issue here. And most of the time, when that teacher, at least for me, come with some here's some do's and don'ts. This is what I'm going to be expecting from you. This is what you're going to be expecting from me. There are consequences when you don't do what you're supposed to do, and there are positive consequences when you do what you're supposed to do. Again, I'm just not here for you to like me, but to get the information. And I've learned through experience, if you're disciplined and you're consistent and you show some concern for that kid,
there it is. That's what I was going to say,
much, yeah. Yeah, I haven't had much. I think I recall you saying about how much chaos have I had. Well, in my 34 years of teaching, I haven't had no classroom chaos anytime, never, ever. And that's because I come in the first week, really the whole first month. And believe it or not, they don't even see my teeth. It's like about business and about we're going to keep this classroom in order so that we can obtain what we need to obtain as far as this class is concerned. And believe it or not, as the year go on, that student that you may have to discipline, and with me, only need to do maybe zero in on one or two who are trying to take the rest of the class or take me off course. And see, they're not going to take me off course. So I catch that one, that Bobby or that Mary, right then and there, and while the rest of the crew is watching, they'll know, okay, well, in Miss Barrett's class, well, we can't be chuckling and jiving and lunching and chilling and being disorderly, because I catch it and I nab it. And really, those that you really got to zero in on, maybe, you know, do some disciplining. As the year go on, they start to, just like Big Dog, they start to like you, for real. And it's not about liking. It's like, as my mom would say, that tough love. They see they can't, when kids can see that they can get away with stuff, which a lot of them do at home, then, you know, you're gonna spend more time disciplining than teaching your actual subject matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like what you said about it not mattering whether they like you, but
mm-hmm,
then
mm-hmm.
At the same time you pointed out that you show concern for student.
Oh yeah.
And that's
yeah,
that's I think that's the key to demanding or getting respect, even though you're not necessarily aiming to get respect. I feel like elementary school kids, you know, want to like people. I feel like elementary kids respect the teachers that they like, but high school students respect the teachers that respect them. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not a matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
a matter of like. It's a matter of whether they really care. You know what I mean? Now.
Exactly.
Now, really quickly, 97% of teachers said that discipline and behavior is a prerequisite to a successful school, and 93% said that public schools have a job to teach kids to follow rules so that they can be productive members of society. And nearly 8 in 10 teachers said their school has students who should be removed because of their behavior in a classroom. Now, is it that bad? Like, how important is behavior inside the classroom? And also, I'm asking a lot of questions right now, but if you could touch on really quickly before we get out of here, the generational change, if any, that you discern. What I mean by that is I feel like the respect that teachers get today is not what it used to be, and I feel like the behavior in the classrooms gets worse year by year. Now, that doesn't happen in Miss Barrett's classroom. I know that. But do you think the problem is getting worse? And why is it worse now if you do think it's getting worse? Why do you think it's worse now than it was 5 or 10 years ago?
Are you speaking to me or Big Dog or Asian?
Yeah. Speaking to you, special guest, Miss Barrett.
Oh, me? Oh, my goodness. Well, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of questions to sum up in, what, a couple minutes. First thing, there is a change, I think, in how the kids are coming to school. And again, we just go back to the home. It's just the parents. We need more parent support. We need more parents being involved with their child. That's a major. Usually when a kid see their parent coming up, interested in what they're doing, what they can get engaged in school, sometimes, most of the times, that can get that kid, you know, keep them on the right track. Now, you also said something about removing a kid. Well, that usually has to go through some procedures before, you know, a kid is what, are you saying that they're so bad in class that, and see, that could be a kid that has some special challenges, too. And that's what we're dealing
with
these days too.
Yeah, we're dealing more with youth with learning disabilities and mental illnesses and behavioral challenges.
Exactly.
Yeah, autism isn't something that was huge like it is now. 10 years ago or 15 years ago, things like that.
Right. And you have a whole list of challenges that our kids from elementary on up are coming to school, and what they're doing is they're mingling them in, say, that regular class. So now if you have a student who is just can't control themselves and constantly, they're basically, before I could just remove them, which I just couldn't, it's procedures. I mean, they would, you know, have to talk to a parent, no doubt the counselor. If a particular kid with a particular behavior, you know, continues, then the vice principal may have to come in before you get that student just, you know, just removed. And then it would be removed to where? So it just depends. It just depends on the situation, what that student is doing, and it depends on I think also how often the kid is, I guess, acting up or disciplinary concerns or being, you know, that he's displaying all these disciplinary type of actions. So it's really not left up really to me. I would get the ball rolling if a kid is just so out of order that, you know, he needs now other support besides, you know, me. Of course, you know, as I said, the mother, the counselor. So
right.
That's
yeah,
as
yeah.
far as
you, cool,
you know,
cool.
Going,
yeah,
so,
that's
you know,
that's
the kid out. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Right. Right. No. That's a very sound response. Now, you said you've pretty much never had chaos in the classroom. Now let's get back to as we close, okay? As you close us out, as you give this final response, just on what you said earlier about showing for the student, like how have you touched young people? And when I say that, I mean, how have you impacted? How have you impacted your students to the point where you've never had to worry about any kind of chaos? Because you've balanced your impact on the students lives with the amount of respect that you demand, clearly,
right,
which is how you're avoiding this chaos in the classroom. So just how do you do that so effectively? And give us your final statement to parents and students and teachers.
That's a lot.
And you got to do it in 2 minutes. The pressure's on, Miss Barrett.
Yeah, the pressure is really on. I don't know. I'm still in that summer mood. You need to stop. Well, real quick, I may ask you that second or the third question, but I know that first question as far as how I have impacted kids. A couple of things, and I could say more, but two or three things that I tend to do, again, and I may have mentioned it, is that I let them know what I expect of them. I also let them know what they can expect from me. I let them know there's consequences, whether it's good or bad. I stick to what I say. And, again, I've seen how if you – oh, I do various activities within that first month, and maybe just even during the school year, where I get to know them more so than, do you know what chemicals are in tobacco that could cause lung cancer. And I say that because I'm a health teacher. So I'll have activities for them to get to know me, for me to get to know them, for them to even get to know each other. There's times even in the classroom when I give them opportunity to express themselves. A lot of times in classes, especially in high school, it's always come to class, be still, be quiet. I don't want to hear from you unless you're giving me an answer about that subject matter. Sometimes, with me, various times I just stop the lesson and give a few minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and just bringing up something that they may want to talk about. What is it that's stressing you out? Who's under stress today? And you'd be surprised at the hands that go up. And I take time to hear them out. And you know, again, maybe not having the answer for whatever they come up with, but just to give that listening ear, it shows already. That's one where that kid was like, wow, this teacher really is concerned. They really do care. And so, again, that's just two or three of the things that I do. There's other little tactics. What can I say to the kids? Well, to the parents, prepare your child, be a model, be a role model, get involved with your child, in whatever school that they're attending, whatever activities, get to know the teacher, come to the parent meetings, engage your child and encourage your child to even get involved in some after school activities, and then whenever you can, be that person to show up to see that student in that football game, that basketball game, that soccer or field hockey game. Let them see you, parent, checking them out. And then start at home with the do's and don'ts, you know, and because that, again, needs to start from at home. And students, get ready to start booking, because education is something that you can't lose. It's nothing that you can't take away. And once kids really get involved, start making good grades and being successful, they start feeling good about themselves, and they do well, and they do want more as far as that educational line, you know, is concerned.
Okay,
I could say more, but I'll you know, end it.
I know you could. I know you could. I know it.
Don't get me started about retention. I love what I do, and I love students, and I've been doing it for 34 years. So it's been great. It's been a blessing, really, a great adventure that the Lord has had me on, that I've been able to touch the lives of so many young people.
Oh, man, that's
go
beautiful. I know it. I know you are made for what you do, Ms. Karen
mm-hmm.
Barrett. That
mm-hmm.
is evident,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so
mm-hmm.
happy that we have teachers like you. You echoed so much what Asia Downing eloquently said in the beginning of the show. So, Asia, what do you think? Did we nail it here? Was this good, Asia?
Yeah, we hit everything on the head.
That's
all
what
right.
it is.
All right. All right. That's good.
That's what it is. Good stuff. Listen,
A-plus.
Thank you. Go ahead.
A-plus.
A-plus. Yeah, Asia gives you an A-plus, Ms. Karen Barrett. You've been good.
No, I'm giving you two, the three of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm giving you three.
Thank you.
A-plus.
I haven't gotten an A-plus in a few years, so I thank you for that. I needed another A-plus. Appreciate it. Listen here. Thank you.
That's the motivation. Go ahead.
Thank you. I ain't doing nothing but closing the show. You can say what you want. I ain't doing nothing here. But
No. Don't ask me no more. I keep it rolling.
I know you will. I know you will. That's why I'm hurrying it up. That's why.
Okay.
Thank you. I love you. I love you, Ms. Karen Barrett. Thank you so much.
I love you, Gary. God bless you, too.
Thank you. Yes, and thank you, Asia Downing. Thank you, Big Dog. Thank all of you guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much for helping me kick off this back-to-school series. Next week, we're going to have a good time, okay? We're going to have an extremely fun episode on the Eric Terrell Show. It's going to get fun.
All right.
Okay. The topic is acceptable and unacceptable side jobs and side hobbies for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What's okay, what's not okay to do outside of teaching if you teach? That's next week as we continue our back to school series. Love. Love. Love, love, love. Love is the important piece to all of our lives. My people, love is the glue. Love is what we need. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth. And love, love. It's not hard to love, love. You just have to love God, because God is love, and God did it. All right?
There you go.
That's what we did. That's it. That's it. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow.